الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا موافيا لنعمه مكافيا لمزيده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وجنوده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إن تهلك هذه العصابة من أهل الإسلام لا تعبد في الأرض وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Just as we have discussed thus far, the important role that Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an played in all the important affairs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his life in Makkah Mukarrama and during the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina Munawwara. In the exactly same way, Abu Bakr radiallahu an played that pivotal role in every other important and significant incident in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwara till the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was buried in Madinah Munawwara. And even thereafter, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu played that very important role. When they came to Madinah Munawwara, the first important thing, which is the nerve center of every Islamic or every Muslim community, which is the center of Islam and Muslims, and that is the masjid. That was the first question that came about, or the first important, that was the first important aspect or important need that had come about. Building a masjid. A plot was found. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want to take that plot for free. He wanted to purchase that plot. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Abu Bakr radiallahu an, oh Abu Bakr, you pay for it. That same Masjid al-Nabawi, which from that time up till today, is buzzing with activity, with salah, with dua, with Quran, and all the ibadat that are taking place in Masjid al-Nabawi. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu an who had paid for the land. Thus, everything that happens in Masjid al-Nabawi, Abu Bakr radiallahu an is receiving a thawab because of that. This is the thawab jariyah of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Everything that happens there, all in the credit of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. This should be our concern and our desire. That, oh Allah, use my wealth in something which will benefit me long after I am gone. One is just we enjoy and our children enjoy. And that's it, that's the end of it. But something that will benefit us. 1400 years have passed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is still receiving. And right till Qiyamah he will receive the reward of that. It wasn't a big amount, it was a small amount compared to what he had spent previously. But Allah accepted that wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. May Allah accept us, accept our wealth, accept our energies for things which will benefit us when we need it the most, and that is in the Akhirat. So this was the role Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu played in purchasing the land of Masjid al-Nabawi. Then he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why aren't you consummating your marriage with Aisha radiallahu anha? The nikah took place in Makkah Mukarramah, the marriage was not yet consummated. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't have mahar money. Who is saying this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I don't have money for the mahar. Perhaps we never heard of this. The father of the girl is paying the mahar. He says, O Nabi of Allah, there's the money, you pay this mahar for your wife. And who is the wife? The wife is his daughter. This was the way Allah had accepted him and accepted his wealth for the khidmah and for the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then The most important event that had thereafter transpired was the battle of Badr in the second year after Hijrah. The most important battle in Islam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum built a shelter for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Arabic it's called Arish. Up till today, those of us that have the opportunity, and we visited Badr, then there's a masjid built on that place now, Masjidul Arish. The masjid where the shelter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. This was for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's safety, for him to be there to overlook the entire battle, and from there Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give instructions. Now there was a very, very important task. Who's going to be the bodyguard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who's going to guard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Everyone else will be engaging in battle. Who's going to see to the safety of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? On one hand, there was Umar radiallahu an. On the other hand, there was Ali radiallahu an, brave warriors. Ali radiallahu an says, the only person who had the courage and the bravery to say, I am ready, I will put myself forward to guard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and fulfill this important task was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Therefore, Ali radiallahu an used to say, we discussed one incident in the beginning, and because of this incident as well, he used to say, Ashja'un nas. The most brave person was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is imploring Allah, begging Allah, crying to Allah, Allahumma in tahlik hadhi al-isabatu min ahli al-islam la tu'badu fil ard. Oh Allah, if this small group of believers, if they are wiped out today, oh Allah, your deen won't continue. They are going to be the means of deen continuing. Your ibadat won't continue on this earth if this small group is wiped out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is begging Allah, imploring Allah to such an extent that his shawl falls off his Mubarak body. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes, he picks up that shawl, places it on the Mubarak shoulders of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hugs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, kafaka munashadatuka rabbak. O Nabi of Allah, you have asked Allah enough. You have asked Allah enough. فَإِنَّهُ سَيُنْجِزُ لَكَ مَا وَعَدَكَ. Allah will fulfill this promise, the promise of victory that Allah has made to you. Allah will fulfill that promise. Don't worry, you don't need to cry anymore. Allah inspired the heart. Shaul Yula rahmatullah alayhi explains, Allah inspired the heart of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that victory is coming. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even told him, Allah inspired his heart that now the time is of acceptance of the dua, the victory is coming. He is comforting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, the victory of Allah is coming. You don't need to ask anymore. Al-hahta ala rabbik. You have asked enough. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falls in a slumber. He wakes up and he says, Abshir ya Aba Bakr, faqad ataka nasr. O Abu Bakr, glad tidings. Help has come to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, glad tidings to you. You the one who had received that inspiration, glad tidings, help is coming. And Allah had given victory to the Muslims. Another very, very important incident. During this battle of Badr, later on, the son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman, who during the battle of Badr was on the side of the disbelievers. At that time he was not yet a Muslim. Later on he became a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu. I'm not sure if I mentioned this in any of the other weeks, but one of the specialities of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was, he is the only Sahabi who four generations are Sahaba. Four generations Sahaba. His father was Abu Quhafa radiallahu anhu, became a Sahabi later on. Abu Quhafa radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his children were Sahaba, and his grandson Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu was also a Sahabi. A great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Four generations Sahaba. No other Sahabi has this accolade and this virtue. So nevertheless, his son Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, later on when he accepts Islam, he says, oh my father, during the battle of Badr, there was an occasion where you had appeared before me and I had the opportunity of striking your neck. But because you were my father, I left you. Abu Bakr radiallahu an, we have already understood and heard enough how everything was sacrificed for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, oh my son, lakinnaka law ahdafta li lam ansarif ank. Oh my son, if you came in front of me, I would have never left you. His own son. But oh my son, you came out fighting Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you came in front of me, I would have never left you. You left me because of me being the father, but I would have never left you. On one hand is the love of the child. On the other hand is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where does our allegiance lie? Respected friends, these kind of trials come before us on a smaller scale. The son or the child wants us to do something which is against the command of Allah. On one hand is the command of Allah. On the other hand is the demand of their child. Oh, my children were nagging me, so I brought the TV in the house. So, we give in and then we show where our loyalty lies. Because my children were nagging, I did this. Because my children were nagging, I had to do it. Where does our allegiance lie? Here is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who's telling his father, who's telling his son, if you came in front of me, I would have struck your neck off. Mufassirin explained the ayat of Quran, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. Lengthy ayat refers to this incident also, where the gist of the ayat is Allah says that the believers, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they won't give anything else. Never anything else preference, even if it be their own parents, their own children and their family, they will not give that preference over the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the battle of Badr. During the battle of Uhud, lengthy incident, at one time, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum lost their footing. There was a temporary defeat. They move away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is injured. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I was one of the first persons to come back. To see to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw Talha radiallahu anhu protecting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured. Two rings of the helmet had lodged themselves into the Mubarak cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who went forward to remove those rings from the Mubarak cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu came forward and he said, "Oh Abu Bakr, I am begging you. Oh Abu Bakr, I'm begging you, please allow me to have this privilege. Everything else, you take the lead. But in this case, please allow me." Then because of that begging of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh allowed him to do it. Otherwise Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was there for that as well. Then moving on, the incident of Hudaybiyah, very quickly, certain important things that had taken place. The incident of Hudaybiyah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, I have seen a dream that we are going to Makkah Mukarramah making tawaf. So they go towards Makkah Mukarramah 6 years after Hijrah. When they reach Hudaybiyah, they are stopped by the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. Lengthy incident, finally Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signs a treaty. All the conditions of the treaty were against the Muslims. Everything in favor of the disbelievers against the Muslims. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sign the treaty. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were emotional at that time. Mawlana Abul Hasan rahmatullah alayhi says that this was a test for the emotions of Sahaba. Emotional test. Why? For 6 years, they were born and brought up in Makkah Mukarramah. For 6 years, they didn't see Kaaba. Imagine, every Muslim desires and longs and pines to see the Kaaba. They were born and brought up in Makkah Mukarramah. For 6 years, they never saw the Kaaba. Now they had some hope. We're going to Makkah Mukarramah. And this treaty is signed. They are barred from going to Makkah Mukarramah. Every Sahabi was emotional at that time. He felt it difficult to accept. Right till this extent, Umar radiallahu anh, with all his greatness, he goes up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Nabi of Allah, alasta Nabi Allahi haqqa. Aren't you the true Nabi of Allah? Emotional, obviously. He wasn't in his normal frame of mind. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aren't you the Nabi of Allah? Definitely I am the Nabi of Allah. Alasna ala al-haq wa hum ala al-batil. Aren't we on the truth? They on falsehood? Definitely. فَلِمَاذَا نُعْتِ الدَّنِيَّةَ فِي دِينِنَا. Why are we compromising? If we on the truth, you are the true Nabi, why must we compromise? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, definitely I am the Nabi of Allah. And Allah is going to assist me. But O Nabi of Allah, you told us we're going to make tawaf. But did I tell you all that you will make tawaf this year? I told you will make tawaf and the day will come. I didn't tell you will make tawaf this year. Umar radiallahu anhu, still emotional. Where does he run? Everyone knew after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the next person is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The only other person who was composed. Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has given these details in Fathul Bari. The only other person was composed with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He goes to him, the same questions. And respected friends, he received the exactly same answers. The answers that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, Abu Bakr then gave the same answers, without knowing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave those answers to Umar radiallahu anh. We had discussed in the first week, Ibn Daghina enumerating the qualities and listing the qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, the exactly same qualities that Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the close similarity between the qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here again, we see that similarity. The same answer that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anh gives the same answer. Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alaihi says, from here we understand, from the beginning, that incident was in the beginning. This was the 60 after Hijrah. From the beginning, right till the end, the qualities of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh were like the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There wasn't any change. He continued. He understood Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best. There was no one who understood Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam like him. So this was what had happened on the occasion of Hudaybiyah. Then in the 90 after Hijrah, the incident of Tabuk, the battle of Tabuk. It was a very, very difficult time for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam implored them, asked them to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was summer, the fruit was ripe, it was a very long journey. And various Sahaba radiallahu anhum brought their contributions. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I thought to myself, Al-yawma asbiqu Aba Bakrin in sabaqtuhu yawma. At that time I had some wealth. Umar radiallahu anhu says, I had some wealth at that time. So I said, if there's a day that I can beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, it will be today. If there's a day I can beat him, it will be today. The competition of Sahaba was in good. It wasn't in, let me do my daughter's wedding better than my brother. It wasn't that my brother is living this kind of lifestyle, he went here with his family for holiday, so I need to go there. Sahaba's competition was in this. If I compete, I must compete in giving more. If I can beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, today is the day that I can beat him because I have wealth. He says, I go to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I present half the wealth that I had. Imagine, half whatever I had, I take half of it and I go and present it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O Umar, ma abqaita li ahlik, what you have left at home. O Nabi of Allah, I have left half at home. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepts it. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anh comes with his contribution. Ma abqaita li ahlik, O Abu Bakr, what you have left behind. May Allah bless us with this. Bless our families with this. أَبْقَيْتُ لَهُمُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولًا. O Allah, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have left Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for my family. That is enough for them. This was the level of tawakkul of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. We cannot imitate this. There were other sahaba who brought small contributions on other times. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept it. Why? He said that you will give whatever you have, thereafter you will go and beg. So this was his level. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood he is on this level and his family is on this level. Last week we discussed the incident of the pebbles, where his daughter Asma radiallahu anha pretended as if there was money in the home, and she did not complain to her grandfather Abu Quhafa radiallahu anha that your son has left us with no wealth. So the family's tarbiyat was made. The family was on that level. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was on that level. This was his tawakkul. He came and gave everything. O Nabi of Allah, not 1 cent. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What we need is not wealth. We need Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's thinking. And his family was on the same level. Respected friends, what don't we do for wealth? Compromise, break every command of Allah, every command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because we need wealth. Here he's saying, take all the wealth. I just need Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Complete opposite. We are prepared to break every command of Allah, compromise every law of deen. Why? For the sake of wealth. My family, as if, na'udhu billah, Allah protect, as if we are saying, my family doesn't need deen, my family needs wealth. Complete difference. That is why we study the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to see how far we have gone away. We can't reach this level, but at least we realize how far we've gone, and we try and make some effort to come close to them. When we speak about material, when we only see material, we only think about material, then we become so materialistic in our outlook That deen doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to us is material. Sahaba radiallahu anhu was complete opposite. Everything was deen. Everything was akhirat. Material was by the way. It was a need. It was used to the extent of need. It did not become the be all and end all in their life. So this was his contribution in Tabuk. And thereafter, just after Tabuk, was the occasion of Hajj. Makkah Mukarramah was conquered. This was the first time that now Hajj will be made. The Muslims will be making Hajj on that level. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for various reasons, did not go himself during the 9th year after Hijrah for Hajj. He went in the 10th year, that was the last year of his life. He did not go in the 9th year. Who will be appointed as the Amir of Hajj? Who will be appointed to lead everyone? It was none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu again. That was in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the vicegerent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and was the deputy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in leading the Muslims in Hajj. Then finally, that sad day came when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world. Again, just in this incident of the final days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So many points that indicate that he will be the Khalifa after me. It was him again who gave that direction and that guidance to the Ummah when everyone was emotional. Again, everyone was emotional. Even Umar radiallahu anhu was emotional. At that time, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was that man of steel and who gave that direction that the Ummah needed. And this again was an indication that it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who will be the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the final illness of Rasulullah had commenced, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam complained of a headache to his beloved wife, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. And then he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, that, oh Aisha, my heart desires that I call Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his son and I appoint him as Khalifa. Clearly, explicitly, I appoint him as Khalifa. Ayyatamanna mutamannin, aw yaqula qa'il, so that no one will have any aspirations of becoming Khalifa after me. Because it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's position. And no one can claim the right of Khilafah after me. But then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on second thought, I thought that I won't call him. There's no need to call him. Not because he isn't the Khalifa. There's no need to call him. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ya Abdullah, wa yadfa'ul mu'minuna illa Aba Bakrin. There's no need to call him. Because Allah will not allow anyone else to become Khalifa. The believers will not accept anyone else as Khalifa besides Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so confident. People ask the question, why Nabi sallallahu alaihi didn't appoint him? Nabi sallallahu alaihi was so confident that everyone knows Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is Khalifa. There isn't a need for me to appoint him because this is definitely going to happen. Allah won't allow anyone else to become Khalifa and the believers won't accept anyone else. So confident Nabi sallallahu alaihi was. Then, in the last khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, we discussed part of this hadith in the first week. In the last khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah has given a certain slave of his a choice between living in this dunya or between going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this servant has chosen to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely ambiguous. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say who the slave was, who the servant was. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to cry. The words of Sahih Muslim, Baka Abu Bakrin wa Baka, he began to cry profusely. Fadaynaka bi abaina wa ummahatina, may our parents be sacrificed for you, O Nabi of Allah. Other Sahaba looking, what's happening? Ma yubki hadha shaykh, what's happening to this man? Why is overreacting, in our words? Overreacting, becoming so emotional. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just talking about someone who was given a choice. Why must he react in this way? Why must he respond in this way? The sahabi later on, Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, he says, although at that time we said this, later on we realize, inna Aba Bakrin kana a'lamana. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best. He knew who Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about his own self. He was speaking about his own self. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood it, others didn't understand. And then, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to console Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, La tabki ya Aba Bakrin. Oh Abu Bakr, don't cry. Oh Abu Bakr, don't cry. Inna amanna an-nasi alayya fi suhbatihi wa malihi Abu Bakrin. The hadith we discussed right in the beginning, that the one who has favored me the most and being the most kind to me in terms of his wealth, financially and also physically, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. لو كنت متخذا خليلا غير ربي لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا وفي رواية من أمتي. If I had to take anyone from my ummah as a bosom friend, I would have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu an as my bosom friend. But that special friendship has been reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, I enjoy a very, very close relationship with Abu Bakr radiallahu an. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَا يُبْقَيَنَّ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ خَوْخَةٌ إِلَّا خَوْخَةُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had small doors, something like big windows, small doors, leading into the masjid. So those whose homes were adjacent to the masjid, they had these small doors. So it was like a quick entry into the masjid. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on this occasion, the last khutbah of his, all these doors must be closed. All these small doors must be closed. Only Abu Bakr's door will be allowed to remain. Again, the muhaddithin say, this was a clear indication that this man is going to become the Khalifa. Therefore, he has the speciality that his small door will be allowed to remain. Everyone else's doors must be closed. And then, we find the day came when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sickness intensified. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could no more go out to perform the salah. Although he tried three times Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to go for salah. We have this lameness of excuses. Oh, I got a headache, I can't go for salah. It's too cold, I can't go. Fajr is too early, too dangerous, I can't go. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, extremely sick. He tries three times, falling unconscious every time. He tries again, and then he tries again. Only when he realized, now I won't manage, I'm falling unconscious so many times, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the command, Muru Aba Bakrin fal yusalli bin nas. Again, who is going to be the deputy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? There was no one else. Tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to perform the salah. Aisha radiallahu anha says, it was my father. But I felt sorry for my father. Imagine taking the place of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not a small thing. Taking the place of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of that, because of my feeling sorry for my father, I make an excuse and I tell Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Aba Bakrin rajulun bakka. Oh Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu cries a lot. He's a person who has a raqiqul qalb. He has a soft heart. He cries a lot. If you're going to appoint him as imam, when he's reading Quran, he will cry. When he's reading, this was the normal quality of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. That narration of Ibn Daghina that we mentioned in the beginning, we didn't mention this part. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came back to Makkah Mukarramah, when he used to read Quran and cry, the wives and children of the Quraysh used to come, and they used to be affected. They became frightened. This man is going to influence our wives and children because of his crying when he's reading Quran. So Aisha radiallahu anha says that, my father cries a lot, why don't you appoint someone else? She says, a few times I tried to convince Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to appoint Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset. And he says, inna kunna sawahiba Yusuf. You tell Abu Bakr to perform the salah. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu receives the message, again, he doesn't go forward. If the person was aspiring for khilafah, he was aspiring for that position, he would have gone before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even gave the instruction. When he receives the instruction, he tells Umar radiallahu anhu, oh Umar, please, I'm a person who's soft-hearted. Why don't you perform the salah? Umar radiallahu anhu says, anta haqqu bi dhalik. Oh Abu Bakr, you the only one who has that position. It's your position, you go and perform salah. Four days during the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu performed the salah with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, Radina li dunyana man radiyahu Allahu wa rasuluhu li dinina. When Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam were pleased with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being our imam. This is the most important position, to lead the ummah in salah. It was the position of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam were pleased with him to lead us in salah, we are pleased with him to lead us in dunya also, for him to be our leader and to be the Khalifa. We are totally pleased. And this was a clear indication from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If this man is going to fill my space, and he's going to stand in my place on the musalla, then he will lead my ummah as well. Then finally the day came, that Monday, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam breathed his last, and he left this dunya. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was gone to another home that he had, a little distant away from Masjid Nabawi. He receives the message. He comes into the masjid. At that time, sahaba emotional. In one corner is Umar radiallahu anhu, who says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not passed away. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not passed away. He's emotional. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not passed away. He has just gone to meet Allah, like how Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes in. He goes directly to the house of his beloved daughter Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was lying. And then he removes the cloth from the forehead of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, Mata Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Inna Lillahi Wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Definitely Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed away. He was supposed to be the most emotional, the closest attachment. But he was the most composed. Mata Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed away. He goes down, bending on the forehead of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, places his lips on the Mubarak forehead of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa Safiyah. Oh my beloved. Oh my bosom friend. Wa Khalila. He comes up again. The second time he kisses Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa Khalila. Oh my close friend. Third time, wa Nabiya, oh my Nabi. And then he says, Tibta hayyan wa mayyita, oh my Nabi, you were so pure, you were so pleasant, you were so fragrant when you were living, the same when you have left this world. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu an, not yet the Khalifa, but he goes out into the masjid, sahaba emotional, he says to Umar radiallahu an, a brave person like Umar, he says, Umar sit down. Umar radiallahu anhu is not prepared to sit. He walks to the minbar. When sahaba saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walking to the minbar, automatically sahaba converged around him. They came around him. And on that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave direction to the ummah. When they needed the direction the most, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولِ مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. If you are worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone. If you are worshipping Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's gone. If you are worshipping Allah, Allah will remain. Allah will never die. Allah will remain. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. He recites this ayat, which was revealed at the occasion of the incident of Uhud. All the sahaba knew this ayat. They all knew this ayat. But this ayat never came to their mind. He says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a messenger of Allah. He is not Allah. He's not going to remain forever. أَفَإِمْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have to leave this world, or if he has to become shaheed, will you turn on your heels and leave your deen? Sahaba radiallahu anhum say, when we heard this ayat, it was as if this was the first time that we heard this ayat. And they all, together with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, begin to read this ayat. They begin to read this ayat. Umar radiallahu anhu says, when I heard Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saying this, he says, my feet began to tremble. And I realized, definitely Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has passed away. So this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In all those important situations, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was that man, who had that bravery, who had that courage, who had that composure to give lead to the ummah. We don't need any further explanation for us to reach the conclusion that there was no one and no one else who will be eligible of becoming the Khalifa after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There were so many indications that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made during his final days. And then again, how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the only one who maintained composure. He was the only one who could give direction to the ummah at that time, showing to us that he was the person who was fit and eligible for this position. Just to recap what was discussed, one was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu buying and purchasing the property for Masjid Nabawi. And what a great thawab jariyah for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Thereafter the battle of Badr, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comforting and consoling Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told his son later on, who accepted Islam later on, when his son told him that you came in front of me, but because of being my father, I didn't kill you. He says, if you came in front of me, I would have killed you. Then in Uhud, he was the one who was prepared to remove the links and the rings from the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu begged him for that privilege, and he allowed Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu to do that. In Hudaybiyah, when Sahaba were emotional, even Umar radiallahu anhu was emotional, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was so composed and who gave Umar radiallahu anhu the exactly same answer that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him. Showing that similarity, and this is the barakah and the blessings of his close association and companionship with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then in Tabuk, how he came and he brought everything, all his wealth, and we had explained the importance of not sacrificing the commands of Allah and the commands of deen for the sake of material. They were prepared to give everything else just for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he was the Amir of Hajj in the ninth year. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa didn't go, Nabi sallallahu alayhi sent him as Amir. And in the final days of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa the various virtues of Umar, of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa had mentioned, and how he gave direction to the Ummah in that critical moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and reward all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the best on our behalf. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.